morning, everybody, and welcome once again to the great Sunday Revival, Sunday School Discussion Adult Meeting at Wings Christian Fellowship.
On Palm Sunday.
Oh, it's Palm Sunday? That's why that church lot was so full. Okay. Y'all, but we're gonna twist our little palms into a cross pretty soon. For now, we're just going to discuss the wonderful Word of God. And, Mike, would you lead us in a word of prayer?
Sure, as soon as I chew this to up.
I do that on purpose.
She caught you, didn't she?
Lord, thank you for this opportunity again to just be in your word today. You know, Lord, right now I need you and need your word in my life today. So, thank you again, Lord. You just give us ears to hear each other speak and just grow in what you're going to give us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Okay, well, praise the Lord. We have finally gotten into chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians. It just feels like we're moving right along at a snail's pace, but yet moving. So, who would like to read 1 Corinthians, not the whole thing, let me look and see. I think like up to 13 is where this first part goes. 12, 13. Oh yeah, first we're talking about what a woman is allowed to do, and now we're going to 13. Okay, so, okay, let's go through 12, okay? Brenda or Buddy, whoever wants to read it, we like to read it. In the Amplified for the first reading.
Pattern yourselves after me, follow my example, as I imitate and follow Christ the Messiah. I appreciate and commend you because you always remember me in everything and keep firm possession of traditions, the substance of my instructions, just as I have verbally passed them on to you. But I want you to know and realize that Christ is the head of every man. The head of a woman is her husband, and the head of Christ is God. Any man who prays or prophesies, teaches, refutes, reproves, admonishes, and comforts, with his head covered, dishonors his head, Christ. And any woman who publicly prays or prophesies, teaches, refutes, reproves, admonishes, or comforts, when she is bareheaded, dishonors her head, her husband. It is the same as if her head were shaved. For if a woman will not wear a head covering, then she should cut off her hair too. But if it is disgraceful for a woman to have her head shorn or shaven, mm-hmm. let her cover her head. For a man ought not to wear anything on his head in church, for he is the image and reflective glory of God. His function of government reflects the majesty of the divine rule. But woman is the expression of man's glory, majesty, preeminence. For man was not created from woman, but woman from man. And neither was man created on account of or for the benefit of woman, but woman on account of and for the benefit of man. Therefore, she should be subject to his authority and should have a covering on her head as a token, a symbol of her submission to authority, that she may show reverence as do the angels and not displease them. Nevertheless, in the plan of the Lord and from his point of view, woman is not apart from and independent of man, nor is man aloof from and independent of woman. For as woman was made from man, even so is also born of woman, and all, whether male or female, go forth from God as their author.
Well, that's through 12. Mm-hmm. Well, I have to say, this was, I think, from my heart, we've stumbled onto a controversy in the Bible, because I was reading in this other translation, the Mirror Translation. I'm just going to put this out here, and if anybody, you know, wants to comment, read, and I accept, there's lots of good stuff in there too, but you have to get very spiritually minded to see any of this, in my estimation, from a, you know, a true standard. But here's what they say in the Mirror Bible. He says, I did not translate 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 3-17, since in my opinion, they are certainly not in the context of the gospel that Paul preached. Paul understood that when Jesus died, all died. He therefore no longer knew people from a human point of view. He declares in Galatians, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Then he says, these thoughts seem to have been added by a scribe to justify the tradition of the day. This is in his opinion, where women had to show their submission to their husbands by wearing a head covering. And that's all of that. And I just thought I would throw that out there and see if anybody has anything they want to say, pro or con, in that thing. I felt that, when I read that, I thought to myself, that doesn't speak to me. You know, that almost sounds like the traditional churches. A woman must have her hair cut. A woman must, you know, and add to that, you know, a woman must not wear pants. A woman must not go to movies. So, you know what I mean? The whole thing.
Or jewelry, or sandals, or sleeveless.
Yeah. But I kind of just like to get every other people's opinion or thoughts. Or if the Lord has given you anything about this, throw it up out.
All right, when he was speaking this, he meant it, was he meaning it literally? And expecting this, the covering and all, because I know there's churches that this is a part of their traditions.
Well, I believe that the way he said it, he really did mean it. Mm-hmm. A woman shouldn't always have her head covered because, if, you know, when she spoke or prophesied, at least he was giving women the chance to speak or prophesy in the congregation. She must have her head covered, and the shaving of the head would be, you know, and a man must have his head uncovered and must have long, you know.
All right, Brother Oscar, we're sitting here waiting.
Especially on 10, it says, for this cause, ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. I don't get that at all. I know this isn't the way we should, you know. If I don't have all the answers, I guess I should step down and let somebody else teach this class, but this doesn't make any sense to me. And I'm just
Well, nobody has all the answers. Except Jesus Christ.
Nope.
He wrote the book, so he's the only one that has the real answers.
Boy, have I got a story for you about that.
And he's the only one who can really give the true interpretation, what it really means.
Well, I don't know. I'm speculating on this, so,
right.
This is just a speculation because I haven't really studied into this. But I have a feeling that in Corinthians, or in Corinth, that might have been one of the towns where women were the priest, where they had, I'm trying to think what you call them, sort of like soothsayers and stuff. I've watched some, I like history a lot. I mean, I like to look into history a lot because I know that if you're not careful with history, it does tend to repeat itself over and over and over. And anyway, I'm thinking that, and I might be wrong about this, so I'm just putting this out here that this might be it, okay? That there were women that they called oracles, and people would go to them, and they would, tell them what their future was and all that kind of stuff. It's sort of like what we have today with
psychics,
so to speak. And I even dealt that there was a place. I don't know if Corinth was close. I believe it was in Greece. I'm not sure. I think it was. And there was a place in Delphi. I think it was. Where there was a person who did that.
The oracle.
And they went and they found the place where that supposedly, from what I, as best I can remember what I saw, they went and found a place where this person used to, prophesy or whatever they did, And anyway, they found out that there was gas seeping up through the ground there, and that if you sat in there, you would get like,
you got loony.
You would get very
mystical.
Well, you'd get weird because your senses would be really kind of screwed up because of the gas that come up through there, just a little bit, And anyway, I'm not sure, but I have a feeling that the Corinthians, that the women held very strong sway over the whole situation there, And you got to realize that really what Paul is saying here is true, and yet it's going a little bit over the top, And you got to realize too that everything that Paul said, Paul didn't always say that he received this from God. Sometimes he would actually come out and say that, it was, this was more, if you didn't receive something like this, just let it go, basically. But what he's saying here is true to the extent that man was created first and woman was taken out of man. You know, it's like people will say, well, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Mm-hmm. Well, in this case, it was man came first. Mm-hmm. He did come first because the scripture tells us that, and that God took a chamber, not a rib. Everybody thinks it's a rib, and it wasn't a rib. It was a chamber out of man. Now, I'll tell you this. I feel like when man was created, and I might get into that a little bit today. I don't know, possibly. I do have a scripture written down that kind of goes in that direction, but I don't know if I'm going to go that way or not. But anyway, when man was created, he was perfect in the day that he was created, but he was in a state of perfect innocence. And God took a chamber out of man, something out of man. And I believe when God first created man, that he was complete in the sense that he was male and female, both. He was a complete being. Now, this is just, you can let this fly over your head or whatever you want. But I believe he was complete, see. And when God took that chamber out of man and made a woman to be his helpmeet, his helper, to be at his side. He took this out of his side, so she was to be at his side. Not less than, but together, Anyway, I think man became an incomplete being. And I don't want to go on forever and take up your whole class. But man became an incomplete being then. Okay? He was not complete. If you ever seen a Jerry Maguire movie, the real big thing in that, thing that was that struck me when I listened to that was that when he went back to try to get Renee Zellweger to be his honey or whatever, the statement he made was, he told her, "You complete me." See? And every woman wants to think that she completes her man, and every man wants to think that he completes the woman that he's with, okay? Well, that's not true, really. The only thing that can really complete you is Jesus Christ, because the scripture tells us up in the New Testament, and you are complete in him. That's the only completion that you ever really have. That's why, you know, even though you have, you're with the right mate, you argue, you fuss, you do all the stuff that people do when they're with somebody. You don't always agree on everything, you know. But when in Jesus Christ, you find your only true completion in him. Now, getting back to this up here, I believe that what he was doing was he was breaking the hold that women had over that area, you know, and when he was saying all this. And I believe he was really breaking that. Now, I might be wrong. I'll have to go back and study into this a little bit, but I'm almost sure this is probably what it is. Mm-hmm. And anyway, so, you know, what he says here, I believe, is true in the sense that, you know, I don't know if women sometimes back then shaved their heads or, you know, did things. And nowadays, some women shave their heads, you know, and all that stuff. But scripture tells you that a woman's hair is her glory, you know. And if you read when Jesus was sitting in the one house, and I don't remember whose house it was right offhand, but Mary Magdalene was supposed to be sitting at his feet, and she was weeping, and her tears were falling on his feet, and she was taking her hair and drying his feet as her tears fell on there. Well, literally what the Lord was showing there was that she was taking her glory and using it to cleanse the Christ, you know. And that was ultimate humility. I mean, I know this. I mean, I got up this morning and I run a comb through my hair. I always check to see if like my bald spot looking spot is showing in the back. And I'll tell Margaret, you know, brush it down a little bit, get it where it's laying decent, you know what I mean? A little bit of vanity there. But Margaret spent probably 10 or 15 minutes in the bathroom fixing her hair. And women are really, really particular about their hair. They won't go anywhere if their hair is not just so and stuff like that. So there's a natural thing there, you know, even in that. And but I honestly believe this, that I don't think women should get offended at this, because I believe there's a lot of truth in it, in the sense that a husband should be a covering for his wife. He should be the one who will give his life for his wife if he needs to, you know what I mean, and so on and so forth. And we know a lot of women will give their life for their children or for their husbands too, you know, it goes both ways. But this don't really bother me to read this. I mean, it doesn't, and, but you know, being a man, you say, well, you got to answer, you're a man, so it shouldn't bother you. But I think that a lot of things you have to realize that he's talking, I believe here, in the natural more than he is in the spiritual realm. Now, because we know that the scripture says later on, you got to realize Paul was getting an unfolding revelation of Jesus Christ as he went along. And some of the scriptures that you read, you have to realize that's why he'll say one thing and then later on he's taking it way deeper than what he said before. You know what I'm saying? And these were just letters that he wrote back and forth to the church. But God made them available for us to be able to read them, you know, which is what we spend most of our time preaching out of. So anyway, I feel like he was speaking a little bit more to the natural than he was to the spiritual, but there is a spiritual principle there, you know.
The church.
Christ is the head of man is the head of woman. What he's saying there is, And in that day, and in that, well, that way that things were done there, women were subservient to men in everything, you know, in everything. They had no rights, and it's like that in other countries. I'll give you an example. We have my nephew that is married to Precious. Mm-hmm. She's a black woman from Africa, mm-hmm. you know. And actually, I married him here, you know, years ago. And, you know, she is very educated, and she's a CPA, you know, and she makes really good money. I mean, she's very, very educated. She went to college, and she's got degrees and all this stuff, and she gets terrific jobs. But anyway, she's from Zimbabwe, okay? And her mother still lives in Zimbabwe. And her mother was over here. You guys might remember when she came one time. She sat in the back. Precious and Ray were here.
Oh, yeah.
And the mother was there. And she's from Zimbabwe. She doesn't really speak English, you know. Mm-hmm. So Precious would have to speak to her in Zimbabwe. She seemed like a very sweet lady. I mean, a really sweet lady. And anyway, Precious sends money over to Africa all the time to help them, you know, because they don't have much income over there. Mm-hmm. Well, when her husband died, her son inherited everything. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The mother doesn't own the house. She doesn't own anything. Mm-hmm. She owns nothing. And that's the way that society over there operates. See, and this is similar to what was going on there in the Bible days here. See, and when Precious sends money, unless mom gets it without him knowing it, it's his. Because anything that would go to her is not hers. It's his. He's the master of the house, see? And that was the traditions and that was what was going on during the Bible times here too, see? You know, women had no authority, you know. They were not, and people don't really realize how terrific it is to live in places like the United States, you know, and countries that are like us, in the sense that, you know, we everybody has equality, or supposed to have equality anyway. We believe they have equality. Whether they get it or not is another thing. Yeah, right. Supposed to have it. Yeah.
Is it the Arab women that they have to wear their?
They have to wear. They wear a complete covering of everything, a burqa, which covers their face and everything else. And if they go out in public without that, they will be beaten and stuff. And they will, I mean, they literally will beat them. And they'll beat them with sticks and stuff. And you know, people don't realize what goes on over there. But the Jewish nation wasn't as bad as that.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, under their traditions, women had no real rights, you know what I mean. They were to be totally subservient to men. And, you know, Paul has to be, you have to realize Paul was coming out of that kind of situation. But also you have to realize that I believe he was the one that wrote that in Christ there's neither male nor female. So he had a revelation of the Christ in you goes beyond anything that man's traditions did, see. So I don't know if that helped or not. I'm not guessing.
He even said before, how would that you would not marry, that you, you know, that he did not. Paul's made that comment.
Right. Mm-hmm. And see, there was women in the Old Testament who did mighty things. Deborah judged Israel. She judged. And it's funny because the name Deborah has I think it has the meaning of judgment, you know, kind of. She was a judge, you know. Mm-hmm. And God, when he named people, a lot of times, if you, even with your name, if you know the meaning of your name, a lot of times, you'll find that you have that kind of personality, whatever it is, you know. And, but you have to realize that even in some of the stuff that's written here, he was probably talking to a society where women were ruling over the men in the sense that they were running everything and you know, they probably had women that were prophetesses and all that stuff. And a lot of the temples had prostitutes in the temples, women prostitutes. and all that stuff, and they held, you know, they held sway mm-hmm. in a lot of things, mm-hmm. you know. They had goddesses that were Diana and all these different ones, mm-hmm. you know, and stuff like that. So you got to realize that what he's writing here to the Corinthians, and I'm not sure about that, so don't quote me on this for sure. I'll do a little studying into that. But I think Corinth might have been, I think it might have been in Greece. I'm not
sure.
Pretty sure it was.
This here is interesting because it's a little footnote. It says, why did Paul say, follow my example? And it goes down a little bit, and it says, because the Gospels had not been written yet.
Mm-hmm. Right.
When he was in Corinth.
Mm-hmm. Well, he wrote.
So he's, let's be honest, he's kind of winging it.
Yeah.
Well, he's trying to break the traditions right. of men in things that he does a lot of times too, because you got to realize that, you know, the traditions of certain areas, he was telling them, you know, like the Jews were not what we read before. The Jews were not allowed to eat anything. Everything had to be so, you know, everything had to be kosher, and everything had to be, they weren't allowed to eat pork, they weren't allowed to eat a lot of things, you know.
Right.
They had a very strict,
yeah,
from the law.
Yeah, and this thing says, Jewish women always covered their heads in worship.
Uh-huh.
For a woman to uncover her head in public was a sign of loose morals.
Uh-huh.
On the other hand,
in the Greek.
Yeah.
Greek women may have been used to worshiping with no head covering.
Right.
So that goes back to what you're saying.
Right.
He's trying to tear down two different cultures,
yes.
basically.
Well, and yeah, he's trying to bring women that are usurping their authority totally over men and over society. He's trying to bring them into submission. And I will tell you this.
Yes.
You know, a lot of people say, well, and y'all ain't gonna like when I say this. A lot of people say that in our marriage it's 50-50. There's no such thing as 50-50. There's no such thing as 50-50. Because 50-50 means you get nothing done. Because if your 50 wants to do one thing and the other 50 wants to do something else, guess what? Nothing happens. Or you go your separate ways is what it amounts out to. There's no such thing as 50-50. There has to be some person that is at least 60-40 or something. You know what I mean? It has to be at least that, you know. And it's one of those situations to where, you know, people have a tendency that now I can tell you, you know, like Margaret, she'll say to me, she says to me a lot, she'll say, well, I don't know why you ask me what my opinion is on things, and why you want to know what I, because you very seldom do what I tell you. I said, that doesn't mean I don't want to know. I mean, and I do things that she wants to do, but
very seldom do what I tell you.
She says to me all the time,
yeah.
She says, well, we're going to, I tell you this, this, and this, and then you're going to do what you want to do anyway.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. Back in early days in America, men pretty much dominated over their women. You know, they did. And you know, but I'm going to tell you, women in early days in America, and you guys don't get offended, please, when I say this, were smarter than women today. And they were smarter in the sense that they knew how to get that man to do whatever they wanted him to do.
And
it was not by browbeating him or not by nagging him or not by threatening him or anything like that. I'm going to tell you, women love to be told how beautiful they are, how you know, pretty they look, and they love that. I mean, you know, and that's okay, and you should, yeah. But I'm saying, but men like to be told how big and how strong they are,
yeah.
And how brave they are, and all that. And I'm going to tell you what. You can take, and I'll give you an example of that. You can take, and you can have a woman come up to her husband and say, how many times have I told you to fix that faucet out in the driveway and it's leaking and it's doing this and you ain't done anything and go on like that. And if he's like most men, the faucet's gonna keep leaking. But if she comes up to him and she says, honey, you're really good at fixing things. You're really good at that. And you know, I bet you could probably fix that in a few minutes. And boy, I sure would appreciate it if you'd do that and all this and that. He'll go out there and fix it.
He's down the hardware store before you can blink an eye.
He's heading out the door to fix it. And that's where
I'll be right back.
In personality, you know, women are more, and don't take me wrong when I say this, women are more soulish. They're more in touch with their feelings and their soul than men are. Men are more analytical, and they're more, they tend to, I don't know how, they might even be a little dense when it comes to feelings at times sometimes, you know, very, very, you find some men that are very in touch with their feelings, but not very many, not in the sense like women are. So you will get, it's like Margaret told her mother one time, something was going on in the bathroom, and Minnie was using that bathroom. And Minnie was fussing at Margaret when she lived with us. I was fussing at Margaret. You know what Margaret told her? She said, Mommy, she said, if I go in there and start fussing at him, he will never fix it. She said, but if I just wait and leave him alone, he'll come and fix it. You know? And that's true. I mean, I hate to say that, but that's true. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, it's the difference in the makeup between two people, you know. And you know, men like to be told that they're handsome and they look nice and all that too, but women don't put that many compliments on men as much as men do on women, you know. But it's the difference between the two natures there. Mm-hmm. And this right here, like I say, I believe that Paul was trying to break, to a certain mm-hmm. extent, break the traditions that were going on there.
That's exactly
he was basically telling them, you know, what he was saying was really scriptural in one sense. He was saying that, you know, man was created first, mm-hmm. man came first, mm-hmm. woman came out of man, you know, is basically what he's saying there. And he was saying, you know, that, and when you go on and you read in Ephesians, I think it is, what is it, the fifth or sixth chapter or whatever it is, where it talks about marriage, you know. I love the way it does it in the Amplified Bible. It says, you know, it's in the King James, it says, and a woman should reverence her husband. Reverence him, okay. Well, that's one word. The Amplified says that she should notice him. She should praise him. She should, you know, and if a woman does all of that to a man, he'll run through the wall for you. I'm just telling you, he will. I mean, I know he will run through the wall for you. He'll do anything that you need him to do if you do that, because a man needs the reformation of something. That's what I'm trying to say. You know, he needs to be reaffirmed. That's what I'm saying. You know, and if you do that, you will be the one that'll get him to do everything that you want him to do. But if you go the other route, you won't. And just like a man, if he praises the woman in a sense that he loves her, and he begins to tell her how pretty she is and how good she cooks and all that, you know, she'll cook his special dinners and all that, because, reaffirmation is what I'm trying mm-hmm. to say, yeah. Reaffirmation of, you know, you're reaffirming who you are and what you can do, and you're doing that in both cases. But like I say, if you go the other route, mm-hmm. you're going to have problems, and it won't work most of the time.
Don't you think that that's almost mirroring the growth? I mean, every young girl that gets married, I can only speak for myself.
Yeah.
I was more of the browbeater and the controller. I mean, all I wanted to do was, I want it my way, and you know, but as you grow, yeah, and as you learn,
right,
and as you are softened, and as you are sometimes humiliated, and that's the same as your walk with the Lord.
Yeah.
You grow into a beautiful thing if you allow it to happen. It's a processing.
Right.
That I wanted to read this one. It starts with in verse 11 where we said this. This is really very beautiful. It says, so then, I have to insist that in the Lord, neither is woman inferior to man, nor is man inferior to woman.
Right.
So he's actually saying it. He just had to get some mm-hmm. stuff out of the way there. He has to insist that that's what it is. There is no one inferior or better than. I don't know what that word would be. for just as woman was taken from the side of man, in the same way, man is taken from the womb of woman. Might have been the womb that God took out of Adam. God, as the source of all things, designed it that way. So then, you can decide for yourselves. Oh, I don't know if I need to read all that. Yeah, this all just has to do with, if someone wants to quarrel about this, I want you to know that we have no intention to start an argument, neither I nor the congregation of God. What would we hear about the congregation of God? God stands in the congregation of
the mighty.
The mighty, yeah.
Yeah.
So there, I'm beginning to see that he was stating in first grade terms what college principles were.
You know, this whole conversation reminds me of us, you and I growing up. The way we grew up in church. If you remember, our parents, our moms always wore a little scarf, mm-hmm. and they always were subservient.
They wore a hat, and then it turned into a chapel veil.
Yeah, and it was always, and they were always subservient. You know, they weren't allowed to do anything. You didn't say anything, and you know, and this is just the opposite of what that all is. It really is. It's
sometimes one and sometimes the other.
And it's interesting, I'm just reading the footnotes here, how it talks about how he's trying to say, it says in here, he's trying to create unity in the church. Mm-hmm. Whether the woman wants to wear a hat or she doesn't want to wear a hat, it's still just one church. Go, you know, be together as one, not because you know you have to obey this rule or that rule. Mm-hmm. Be together as one in God.
Mm-hmm. Even with God, it's all about relationship, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And I can only tell you this because, you know, mine is not a special case, but I was single for so long before I married. Wow. When you find your true relationship, and you're settled with it in your heart, how much happier you are. When you know your place and you know, and that in a positive way and in not a negative way, not really negative, but you find your place, and your place is not the boss of everything. When you realize that, you have no idea the happiness and the peace that comes with that.
You don't know the peace that I got.
It's true, though. I have said on many occasions.
What do you think, Oscar?
I've said on many occasions, the day I learned that I was not responsible for everything was the happiest day of my life. When I could sit back, and this has nothing to do with marriage, it has to do with spirituality. And when I could sit back and say, I don't know what to do about that, Father. Can you, you know, when you realize you are not on your own out here and you don't have to run everything and everybody, you have, the peace that comes over you is beyond perception. When you can just sit back and eat your ham sandwich.
You ain't the boss of me.
Oh, well. Well, I am, but you don't have to.
That's what little kids say.
If, you ain't the boss of me.
If you're watching them or something, if if you're not their parents, you ain't the boss of me.
No, but I know the boss of you.
Well, and I tell them, while I'm watching you, I'm the boss of you.
I just say I'm bigger than you, remember that.
Yeah. So I guess we've solved that. I feel in my heart that we've solved that situation. Yeah. I think that Paul was speaking in first grade terms, eternal truth.
Well, like I say, it might even his footnotes what he said over there. I don't have any footnotes in this Bible, but anyway, that's basically what I felt like, and that pretty much went along with what you said as far as, you know, I believe Corinth was, you know, in Greece, and, you know,
lots of
that thing I've seen about Delphi that time, I mean, they'd go to those oracles,
didn't they find
they called,
like an
they
old,
were called,
old woman?
They were called oracles, and they sat in them caves and stuff, and you know, there was some kind of rock there or something, and the person sat by the rock, and people would come in and they would, you know, ask them about their future and all this kind of, and about everything they did just about, and those people, they would listen to that oracle, you know, and do whatever the oracle said.
Yes.
But like I say, from what I read that, well, I actually saw it one time. Where they said that they thought they found that place, you know, were in Delphi, and they said that they had realized that there was some kind of gas seeping up through the ground there. And that person was pretty high, blowed up, you know.
So he was a stoner before he knew it.
Well, the bad thing about it is I've heard a lot of different preachers, and I never did do this, and I've heard a lot of different preachers who preach say that they took LSD when they were younger, and they basically talk like they had all kind of encounters with everything, you know. But I don't know. I mean,
trust
you know.
The spirit.
I don't know. I mean, you know, I never did do any of that stuff, so I can't speak to any of that, but. You know,
they had trips they went on.
Yeah.
Some I've talked to people.
Yeah.
Trip.
Yeah.
But can I tell you guys a story? This is totally off, but I think we've kind of finished that. Last week, we decided that we were going to cut the cord on the cable TV and all the money that was going out for that. So I called and I canceled. DirecTV, and I thought, you know, this is a piece of cake. You take this wire out, that wire out, put this all over here, and you hook up, and you just go buy one of these little antennas and you put them on. Well, our one TV had the sound went out on it a long, long time ago. And we bought, rather than buy a whole new TV, we just bought a sound bar and plugged it into the TV and put the TV on external speaker instead of. And it was all great, and I forgot all about it for all these years and years and years and years. And so, after, you know, this easy thing.
3 days.
After 3 days.
3 days.
And not only was I emotionally
exhausted.
Yes, I was emotionally exhausted. My body was killing me because the TV is on the wall and it's so heavy and you can't get it down, and I'm pulling it out and trying to hook this up and this and that. And I'll tell you what, I was to the point, was it yesterday?
Yesterday.
Yesterday morning I woke up and I said, God, that I could get it to work on here, but then there'd be no sound. And then I'd get it to work on here and there'd be sound, but it'd be all googly sound. And of course, none of the interior antennas worked. You got channel 9 in the front of the house, or you got channel 12 in the back of the house, but you just couldn't get anything anywhere. And I thought, God, please, please, God, help me. Please. And I was just exhausted, mentally, in every way, exhausted. And I thought, now I've got, I had a chair, I still do, I've got a chair full of HDI tubes and little crinkly things that you screw into here, and I don't know where any of them go anymore. I took them all out because it was going to be so simple. And there they are piled up there, and I couldn't put it back together. It was like, I couldn't put that thing back together if I had to. And I just prayed, and I just said, God, please, please help me. This morning, I wanted to read you this.
What she's saying, and then we got sound, and it was all grainy.
Yeah.
And she couldn't get it. Yesterday, I was out in the garage. She comes out. She said,
oh,
"Do you
no,
hear
no,
that?"
No, no, so, you're getting my. Listen to this. This is what God told me. I have promised to meet all your needs according to my glorious riches. Your deepest, most constant need is for my peace. My peace. I've planted peace in the garden of your heart, where I live. But there are weeds growing there too. Pride, worry, selfishness, unbelief. I'm the gardener, and I'm working to rid your heart of those weeds. I do my work in various ways. When you sit quietly with me, I shine the light of my presence directly into your heart. In this heavenly light, peace grows abundantly, and weeds shrivel up. I got to tell you, nothing in my world was right. And nothing was going to be right until I got those TVs to work. Nothing. Nothing. It didn't matter what it was. Nothing was right. I had no peace. I had no nothing. I couldn't stop thinking about it. I couldn't think about what was wrong. And I got to thinking about, I thought, well, you know, I got manuals to everything in the world, anything we've ever got. But I do not have a manual to that sound bar. And so I got online, I kind of looked at it, and they were showing the little end of this thing, and there's four little things there. And, this is right after I said, God, please, please, God, just help me. This happened so many times in my life. Why does it take us so long to get to that point? Why?
We tried everything.
So, one was on, one was off, and there were two more buttons there. Plus and minus, sound up, sound down. And I'm going, oh my, and I started hitting the button, the plus button. All the sound came up. Go to the manual. God, I went running out there. I said, you hear that? The joy of the Lord was all over me, because of a stupid TV that I finally asked God to help me.
You know what my stance was, guys? It was, if that's what you want to do, you got it. And I said, I ain't helping.
He didn't say that. This is a man who is, my father was an electrician. He knows nothing. You don't know anything about electronics, do you?
Absolutely not. No.
This is a man who tries to answer his phone, and it takes so long that the people hang up. He doesn't like phones. He doesn't like anything. He doesn't like anything electric or electronic. He just wants to be left alone.
If a spam call comes, I go, hello.
Anyway, but God was said, I can't, it's hard for me to describe the peace that I felt in that silly situation, that God was in fact in control. If only I'd have asked him 3 days sooner, I wouldn't have this crink in my back.
God, touch my neck,
Isn't God good to us?
Yes.
Yeah.
Isn't he good to us in our silliness?
Oh, yes.
In our silliness. Thinking that I could control everything. I was just sitting there begging, who can I call to come in? As a matter of fact, I texted Curtis. I texted Niece. I said, Peace, does Curtis know anything at all about televisions? What wouldn't he have been if he walked in anyway? And
oh, yeah.
Text.
Him or Chris, they'd have walked in and said, oh, yeah, you do this, yeah, right, it's done.
Oh, volume control.
I'm the one that has to hook up all that stuff in our house when we do it.
Go get the kids. They do it.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Anything that has anything to do with the internet or phones, ask a kid.
They know all this, and they're
they
learning
know
10 all
times
this
more
stuff.
Than
oh, yes, they do.
Chris was in Florida.
In the grade schools,
they're learning stuff.
Like in
well, go in a restaurant and watch somebody sit there, and they'll have a little baby, and watch what that baby's doing. They gave them a phone, and they're over there messing with a phone. Well, by the time that kid gets 7 or 8 years old, he's going to know everything about this stupid phone. He's probably going to make some long-distance calls on you or something.
Yeah,
or do something else stupid. But he's going to know everything about that phone. There is a no.
Subway, and I got this kiosk.
Oh, where you got to
look at the guy was behind me, and he knew what to do. He goes, yeah. I look at it, I said, oh, come on.
Tell me on the
order machine,
order
what you want. I
can't.
No, yeah. Oh, yeah. What do you want to get the punch? I told the guy, thank you. You was a blessing.
Oh, has anyone here tried ordering online? I want a cheeseburger, and I want a lettuce, mayonnaise, and then when it goes place your order, you can't find the place you order. I've tried to do it so many times, and I just assume.
Well,
you
do all that's always been my pet peeve with everything, is that. The people who write programs for everything.
Amen to that.
They get money by the more complex they make it.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I was still working down to shop, they got a new system in, and I'm not no computer whiz. I very basically know what I'm doing, you know. And they was having all kind of trouble, and they had a booklet that was that thick.
Yep.
That thick. And they kept fiddling around with it, trying to figure out how to work it and all this. And what we would do is we would have to get into Millicron's computer system to update our ship dates and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that book was that thick. It had all these firewalls and all this stuff in there. And my brother, he was just pulling his hair out. He had no patience when it came to stuff like that, none. And I said to him, I said, well, you want me to take a look at it? And you know, I'm the little brother, you know. You don't,
yeah.
Older brother don't like the little brother to do anything. You probably experienced that before. Is your brother older than you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you've experienced that before. Then you know what I'm talking about. But anyway, finally I told him, I said, well, I'll look at it if you want me to take a look at it. And finally he says, well, okay. I took that book, I sat down. I went through it, and God has given me the ability that when I read things, I can understand them. You know, He has given me that ability, and thank God He has, because if He hadn't, I definitely would be doing what I'm doing now in here. But anyway, He's given me that ability, and I looked through that stupid book, and I wrote down 12 things. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and I wrote them down, and I said, here. Do those in that sequence,
mm-hmm.
and you'll get in there and be able to do whatever you need to do. Book that thick.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
12 short things. That's all it took.
You want to hear a good one?
And the problem with it is, it's like anything else. It's like if you go out and you bought a car, and you got your car, and I told you, I said, well, okay, I'm selling you this car. Here's the manual. And I get there. You don't need the manual. All you need to know is how to turn it on, how to put it in gear, where the brake is. You just need the basic
things.
Turn it off.
And once you learn those things, then that's all you need. You don't need to know all the ins and outs and all the other stuff. And technical writers get paid by the word.
Yeah, I know.
And I offended the lady next door one time because I was over there. We was checking in health insurance. She had a guy come in and she invited us over too. And we was talking to her. And I said, well, I said, you know, these books, I said, technical writers, I said, they blow it up, make it so big. She says, well, I was a technical writer.
Oh,
I thought, oh my God.
Yeah. I was selling cars.
I probably offended her, but But it's the truth. Mm-hmm. It took 12 steps. That's all it took. And if you did those 12 things in a row and you just had to do them in that sequence, you could get into that program, change anything you needed to change, and then come back out. That's all you had to
do. When I was selling cars, every year you had to take a test.
Yeah.
When the new models came out, Ford would send you a binder with all the new stuff, and you would take an open book test, and then you had to be certified to be able to sell the new models. If you didn't get the certification, if you came in to buy a 2023, I couldn't sell it to you,
yeah,
technically. Everybody passed it.
Yeah.
1 year they came in and they redid it, and all the questions had hypothetical answers. They didn't have real answers. And nobody in the country could pass the test, so now nobody passed. Now you technically, Ford wouldn't allow you to sell a car.
Let's close our word of prayer, God. Why don't you pray for us?
Yes, Lord.
What?
You can open this in very hospital.
Yes. Lord, we thank you for your word, Father. It is a lamp unto our feet and light unto our path. And we just ask you, Father, to just help us to go out into the assembly out there today and speak to us through your word. And let us not only be hearers of the word, but go forth and be doers of that word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.